Talk About Positive Japan, it's decently written and it doesn't have jargon, so I praise it on that count. But it's an academic book. And I'm an anthropologist. We like to go and do things with the people we're studying. So when it came to potters, then I went to a pottery village in the south of Japan and stayed there for 2 years. There were only 14 houses, 10 of the houses made pots, 82 people. I got to know them pretty well, and they got to know me pretty well. In order to get my information, for the most part, I had to spend an awful lot of time drinking sake, Japanese rice wine, with the potters, and potters tend to drink a lot. And the reason I had to drink was that when we were drinking, the potters would tell me all the things that they never told me during the daytime. So I had two kinds of information. One was the public story that went on during the daytime, where they would answer my questions quite frankly, but also holding back. And so they would tend to give me the official version of their life. And then at night time, when we started drinking and we were getting pretty drunk, then they would start to tell me all the things that were really going on behind the scenes. And that was quite amusing, but not very good for my liver.
This was the village of Sariyama, correct?
That's right. Sariyama is a very common name, actually, in the south of Japan. It just means plate mountain. It refers to where clay is dug. And so there's four or five places in Kyushu, in the south of Japan, where there is clay available, where people learned how to make pots. And so they're actually called Sariyamas. But the one I was at was called Sariyama, and then they, in order to distinguish it from the other Sariyamas, they gave it a second name, which was Onta. And I was looking at the Japanese folk art movement, which was led by a gentleman called Yanagi Soetsu, together with several people who became very famous potters in Japan, Kawai Kanjiro and Hamada Shoji. And together, back in the 1920s, they came up with this notion of folk art, which they called Ninge, and had ideas about how it should be made and what were the good things about it, and things like that. And one other person who was involved very importantly was the British potter, Bernard Leach, whom I met back in, 1976, 5, I think. And Bernard Leach was an interesting man because he sort of was the courier, I guess, of a cultural intermediary between Europe, the West, and the Orient, the East. And he took several of Yanagi's ideas and took them back to Europe and made folkcraft famous in both Europe and America, of course. So it was quite an interesting story background there to start looking at how Japanese folk art was actually practiced. All the tourists and all the folk art people, they come and they look at them and they say, oh, this is beautiful, this is traditional way of doing things. And the potters say, no, actually, this use of water defines the village itself, the social structure of the village, because we can only put in a certain number of clay crushers in between the top of the village and the bottom. Because of the incline of the river, we can only put in a certain number of these clay crushers, which means there can only be a certain number of houses that make pots in the village. And they said that is why our village is a community. It's so traditional. It's nothing to do with the aesthetics. It's to do with the social structure.
You've written this book essentially twice because you've updated it. What were some of the differences that you found as you were doing it this second time?
Well, the second time, I didn't go back there. I updated actually more in terms of theoretical developments that had taken place in anthropology and sociology of art. But I did go back there a few years after that and was really quite surprised. The village as a whole, Sariyama and Onta Pottery as a whole, has now been designated an important intangible cultural property by the Japanese government, and they're not allowed to change. Since I was there, the market demand has totally changed. When I was there, there was what is known as the Mingo boom, the folk art boom, where everybody wanted to buy folk art. Tourism was centered on going around different folk art villages, and so all the tourists could buy up different examples of folk art. And that finished by the 1980s. In the beginning of this new millennium, the demand fell away totally. So what did they do? You know, it's some of these well-meaning interventions by, in this case, government, which then have a really sort of complex and very difficult effect upon the people who actually have to live with the government decisions. And so the potters at the moment are really, I was there actually only 2 weeks ago, and the potters are really disappointed, don't know what to do. I have a feeling that it could well be that the whole traditional sort of way of doing things will actually disintegrate within the next generation unless market demand somehow picks up.